Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm your host, Summer Brooks, and with me today is writer and director Matt Osterman, who has a new film out called 400 Days. It's a sci-fi psychological thriller that focuses on a set of astronauts who are going under a test simulation for deep space travel to see what the psychological effects of deep space travel on humans could be, and then hijinks ensue. Did I have that right?
That's perfect. Yeah, I don't even need to be here. You got it.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Matt.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's fun.
So tell us, you wrote and directed this. What was the inspiration for this setting?
Right. So I kind of grew up, my parents somehow allowed me to watch reruns of Twilight Zone as a young child. So I have Rod Serling running my blood. So I tend to find myself looking for kind of stories like this, the smart and dark stuff. And, you know, I was first kind of inspired by a real life experiment that they did in Russia a couple of years back called Mars 500, where they put six guys in a fake spaceship for 500 days to basically do, you know, what you described earlier, to test psychological effects of deep space travel. Because we are planning on sending humans to Mars, you know, within the next decade.
Right.
So it's a lot cheaper and less dangerous to, you know, find out best practices and how not to do things, you know, down here versus up in space. So I was watching that experiment kind of unfold, and then when it ended and everybody, you know, got out with their sanity supposedly intact, I thought, you know what, I think I can make this a little bit more cinematic and have some fun with it. So that's kind of the genesis for the idea.
We've seen in other sci-fi features where they get around that by putting everybody into stasis or some sort of deep sleep. But where did the idea for, I don't want to get into spoilers here, I really don't.
Right.
The twist that starts everyone breaking down come from?
How do you talk about this?
Too
much. But I guess, you know, it was kind of, you know, you put these people in this cocoon, right? Essentially, they are on an island, kind of removed from Earth. It's a self-sustaining ship, per se. You know, they don't necessarily need outside contact or, you know, supplies. They have everything there as if it were a real mission to kind of keep it as realistic as possible. So I kind of took that idea and said, well, what if something else happened and these people were able to either ride it out or to get to go somewhere that other folks didn't. I'm being a little ambiguous right now just to keep it spoiler free. But yeah, so they're kind of well suited to kind of experience something that the rest of people on Earth can't.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid spoilers here, but all the good stuff is
We can talk spoilers. I don't mind so much.
Okay. I will go with just what's in the press releases. Communication vanishes, and that affects people's, shall we say, comfort zones. What was your, I guess, guiding thread in order to play that up as things progress?
In terms of the astronauts in the simulation.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah, things do start to deteriorate pretty quickly for them, you know, both physically and psychologically, and then amongst each other as well. They all kind of have their own thing that they bring into the ship from a kind of a psychological point of view, and those things start to come back and haunt them, figuratively or in some cases literally. So there is some metaphorical significance going on, you know, with stuff outside the ship is happening, but also stuff inside the ship is happening. And we're not sure which one is real, which one is part of the simulation, if they're going crazy, who's a reliable narrator, who's kind of the red herring. So there's a lot of different things at play that doesn't they don't necessarily wrap up in a neat little bow. But it's interesting to me to kind of play with that dynamic between the characters who are all going through their own thing, but also then having to come together and figure out what the hell's going on, you know, outside their ship.
Now, did casting affect the performances you wanted? Because you've got a pretty powerful lineup here.
Yeah. You know, I mean, casting always affects, you know, the performance. You know, you have a vision of who the character is, and then you have, you know, an actor come in and you want them to make it their own. You know, I don't want to force words into an actor's mouth. It doesn't seem natural coming from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to be pretty collaborative with my actors too. So I wanted them to make it their own, to make it as organic as possible. So, I feel like, you know, I gave the actors as much freedom, as we could. Now, you know, we were a low budget shoot with not a lot of time, so we didn't get a ton of time to play or craft the performances, a lot, but you know, we got some really good stuff, and the cast was absolutely amazing, and everybody was really fun to work with and total pros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got Brandon Routh, Katie Lotz, Ben Feldman, Dane Cook, Tom Cavanaugh, and Grant Bowler. That's a pretty sci-fi heavy bunch of people that you know, our fans would recognize from a lot of different shows and movies. And how long was the shoot?
We shot for 19 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So pretty quick. Yeah, the actors, we're so lucky to have them, and they're not even used to working at that pace. You know, coming from big budget stuff or network TV stuff, they get a lot more time to play. So it was a fire drill a lot of days to get it done. But man, they came in prepared, ready to go, and we're just so lucky to have them. I think they just liked the idea that the script did something different. It wasn't a paint by numbers kind of approach,
mm-hmm.
And they're used to doing stuff that kind of, be careful I say, it's kind of, you know, like pop culture oriented, you know, where you have to have a certain check boxes that you have to check off, and this one kind of took some risks, and I think that's what brought them on, because it certainly wasn't the paycheck.
Well, I enjoy it when adventurous independent features take risks, because, and most of the time, you end up with a better story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just when you're working at this level, there's no, it's almost a risk not to take a risk. And it's more fun to kind of paint outside the lines and realize that it may be frustrating to some people that are expecting a certain kind of story, but that's okay. You know, we need lots of different kinds of stories, and that's what's fun for me.
Now, because of the short duration of the shoot, did you have to adjust some things, leave some things out of the story that maybe you really, really wanted to keep in there?
No, not really. We are able to get everything that we needed that was, you know, scripted. So, you know, before we shot, you know, I tightened the script up as much as possible, so you kind of eliminate any of the fluff or stuff that, you know, you're going to cut anyway. So the script was fairly tight going into it. But yeah, our crew was also really on top of the game. So we, you know, showed up in the morning and we got to work. So yeah, no complaints there. We shot everything that we needed to get. It's just, you don't have, you know, when you have a limited schedule like that, you don't get to, you know, do unlimited takes and play with some ideas and have the actors work off of each other as much as you'd want them to. We got to do some of it, but obviously, you know, even the $100 million movies complain about time and money. So mm-hmm. it's not unique to me or the low budget here.
Now, 400 Days comes out in theaters and video on demand on January 12th. Do you have any special plans for expanding theatrical or any special extras for the eventual Blu-ray release?
Yeah, good question. I don't know about expansion yet. Obviously, you know, it depends how the movie does. You know, sci-fi films are distributing it, and they've been doing a phenomenal job. And I know, you know, they'll do a TV release later in the year as well. So, you know, we kind of got the best of both worlds. We get the theatrical and the digital, and then a TV release all in the same year. So I think people that want to check it out will have multiple ways to do so. We obviously want them to either go to the theater if it's in their town, or watch it on iTunes or VOD. But I'm on social media and pretty active on Twitter, and there's a lot of theories floating around about the ending and kind of what the movie meant. So we're hoping to kind of foster that conversation, so people can always reach out to me on Twitter or my blog, and we can talk theory, which is fun.
Excellent. What's your Twitter handle so we can get people over there?
Yeah, just at Matt Osterman.
Okay. Because I'm personally addicted to creator commentary tracks. I love hearing the behind the scenes stuff and how they tweaked certain things, how they did certain things on set. Just that deeper dive into crafting and creating the story is, I find it fascinating, and I love it to death. So I hope you get to do one.
Yeah, I do too. I haven't heard. I don't know why we wouldn't. I know we have a behind the scenes featurette that I'm assuming is going to be part of the extras, but we haven't had those conversations quite yet. Or maybe we'll release it online as well. Hopefully, that will be good so people can get a little behind the scenes peek. But yeah, we have lots of fun stories from this one.
Excellent. So that is 400 Days, which will be in theaters January 12th, on video on demand, and later on Sci-Fi Channel. Hopefully we'll get some links for that to where we can really, really push people. And, mysterious mysteries in ambiguities in the ending of movies is always a source of great geek arguments, and we all know how much sci-fi geeks love to argue.
It couldn't be truer.
Are you working on anything else for after 400 Days?
Yeah. No, I've been, the movie's been done for, I don't know, a good 6 months now. So I've been writing the whole time, working on something around artificial intelligence, kind of developing a feature version and maybe even a TV version for that as well. So that's fascinating. Sometimes I think I make films or do filmmaking just as an excuse to do the research, because I love kind of geeking out about a lot of this tech. And, for 400 days, I got to design the spaceship and talk to people at NASA. And, for this next one, I'm learning about all the interesting and dangerous places AI could potentially take us in the future. So it's a pretty fun little job, and I'm really lucky to be at where I am.
Well, when that one starts shooting, let us know, and we'll be happy to talk to you about that one, because the
for sure, yeah,
the ever-growing threat that Google might become Skynet is a fun argument to have over beers.
Yeah. It can devolve pretty quickly too. So it's I'm frightened for the future of humanity. Hopefully we get it right. But if not, yes, Skynet is coming.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time today, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, always love chatting about movies.
Yeah. And again, the movie 400 Days releases on January 12th. We will have links to where you can find that on iTunes, Amazon, your favorite video on demand places, and look for it in your local theaters. We'll try to have some information about that as well. Again, Matt Osterman, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
There's a little superhero in all of us. Listen to Krypton Radio every day, and we'll help you find yours.
So the sci-fi psychological thriller 400 Days was released earlier this week. Go check it out. It is available on Amazon, iTunes, a whole slew of video on demand platforms. And you can see a list of all the platforms it's available on on their website, which is 400daysthemovie.com. And there's also information there on what locations, what cities you can see 400 Days on the big screen in. Scottsdale, Arizona is one. So for all you local people, go ahead and check that out. And I definitely hope to hear more from Matt Osterman with his next project. But for now, let him mess with your mind as he messed with the minds of his cast in this film. But that should do it for this episode. We do have a Star Wars discussion coming up. We do have a Doctor Who discussion coming up. It's just a matter of getting everybody's schedule on the same page. Working on it, people. We have some more indie movie features for you, horror and sci-fi, so keep your eye out for that. And every now and then, a surprise contest will pop up, so come to the website. Check out the website for a contest and, of course, information about shows and TV and movie reviews as they come along. If you want to leave a comment, call that comment in. The number is 602-635-6976. You can leave a voicemail message for any of us, contributors, reviewers, instigators, one and all. The comments, you can leave your own comment on the reviews that are done here. If you don't agree with someone's 3-star review, give it your own star rating and add your voice to the many, many opinions that are out there. But hey, your opinions count more here because the slice of sci-fi, it's everybody's slice, right? Leave a review for us on iTunes. If you are an iTunes user or subscriber, that will greatly help us out. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Google+. And of course, the website is sliceofsci-fi.com. For anyone interested in book reviews, that website is writersafterdark.com. And no, I have not forgotten about the new Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas episode. It's just, with the holiday season, people got busy doing other stuff. But yeah, that episode is still on the table, and it will be coming your way, hopefully sooner rather than later. All of your donations, all of your Patreon pledges are greatly appreciated. We thank you for your support, everyone who is helping out. Every penny is put to good use, keeping the websites and the media online. And if you want to help support things here, just go to patreon.com/sliceofscifi and add your pledge too. Thank you again to my longtime cohort, Tim Callender, for the way cool graphics that have been gracing this, the rebooted Slice of Sci-Fi and Slice of Sci-Fi TV since almost a year now. We will continue to work on getting more video out to you and get Darren and Noah voicing their opinions on a whole lot more movies, we hope. And as always, my special thanks goes out to Sci-Fried for the awesome, awesome theme music that is gracing every podcast episode. You can find more music by them at sci-friedband.com. Again, that will do it for this episode. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.